No surprise, crops getting smaller. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. We're at Farm Progress, and literally sitting next to me is Arlen Suderman at StoneX. And you and I both, Arlen, have had some windshield time, but you a little bit more. What are you seeing out there? I mean, you talk about the crops getting smaller, and it seems like that's the direction we're headed.
Yeah, certainly so. I've crisscrossed the Midwest quite a few times this summer, and the crop yield potential continues to change. And that's really been the story in five out of the last 6 years now or so. August 1 potential was high, obviously, as we saw from the various surveys, including USDA survey. But since that time, we've taken a lot off. We saw on the the Pro Farmer Tour that they came out with a lower yield. They typically have a lower yield than USDA, but I still think it reflected some of the lost yield potential that was from where we were several weeks earlier, and that continues to happen. Overall, we're seeing a lot more firing of the leaves. Some of that's dryness, as we've been pretty dry over the last few weeks over many parts of Midwest. Some of it's disease. Farmers simply aren't in the mood to spray, and the disease has really taken a hold of this crop in many cases, and you can really see a loss of leaves, and that's going to negatively impact yield as well.
I was going to say, unfortunately, it's too little too late for some of these crops.
It is. There was a window of opportunity to treat, and farmers just weren't in the mood to spray, to spend the money. I understand, I get that. But that could end up taking quite a chunk off of yield, and that'll be bushels that we can't afford to lose. But that looks like to be pretty much the story at this point. So we are getting a smaller crop. Question is how much smaller, and ultimately that'll come down to what the combine tells us.
So when you look at that and you look at the way the markets reacted during the Midwest Crop Tour, for example, and just the other social medias, where do we see this market ebbing and flowing before the combines even hit the fields?
Well, there's two things. There's the futures market and there's the cash market. On the futures market, the first job of the market, largely driven by the speculative funds, is to price in the maximum size of the crop. And so prices go lower until they feel like they're confident that they priced in the maximum size, that it can't be any bigger than that. And so a lot of these funds will have millions and millions of dollars invested. And so they're going to buy the best yield models that money can buy. You can argue whether yield models have validity or not, but that's what they do. That's the reality of it. And those yield models were all saying 187 to 190, in some cases higher than 190. And so that's what they priced in before we ever came out with our estimate, before USDA ever came out with its estimate, both of which, by the way, were based on surveys of what people were telling us. That was August 1st. I felt like we went into that August report with a high 180s crop priced into the market. The only surprise was the increase in acreage. We quickly priced the increase in acreage in that day, and we've been higher ever since. So the market is, on the corn especially, is focused now on the demand side. To some extent, soybeans are as well. So it comes down to demand. With corn, we know we have strong demand right now. The farmers undersold both here and in Brazil. For soybeans, we have strong domestic demand, or anticipate strong domestic demand with the biofuel program. Exports are a big question mark because we still don't know where we're going to end up with China. So that's where the question marks are on soybeans.
Are we playing a little bit of a headline reaction game, though, on these grains? I mean, I saw that with China sending somebody to the U.S. this week, but it's not an official kind of negotiation delegation by any means.
Well, it does have their lead negotiator in it, so I'm sure there will be some negotiations. One big difference between this round of negotiations and Trump 1.0 is both China and the United States have been far more secretive in the negotiations. So you have to watch for indications of when they're in each other's countries, et cetera. So there are some talks going on, and we know that the Trump administration, which seemed to have its eye off of agriculture for a while, has their eye back on agriculture as being a part of those negotiations. Will that yield a trade deal? I'm not optimistic. It could happen. There's reasons it could happen. I'm cautiously optimistic, but so far we're not seeing any hard, fast evidence of a deal being imminent.
But, you know, Arlen, the president has said some of these deals are done, but we haven't seen them finalized as of yet.
Yeah, exactly right. We have seen some more details worked out with the EU trade deal that's, I think, been good for, like, soy oil. although I'm not sure how much soy oil we'll have available to export. That's another question. I think some of the details on like Vietnam and some of the other Southeast Asian deals look positive for agriculture, but that takes time to play out. And the big one now watched is still comes back to China.
It'll be interesting to see where we move on that. But we've also got some interesting headline pressures and other factors that are weighing in now on this cattle market. As you and I are talking, I mean, this cattle market on fire once again with some new highs happening.
Yeah, absolutely. The fundamentals are there. You just always have to worry about when do we have a headline that scares the funds out. The funds have large, long positions in this market. At what point do they get scared out? That could result in the end of it, or that could result in simply a sharp correction and then we work our way back up. Nervousness is high when you're at these high levels. Fundamentally, we're tight, and we're probably going to get tighter once that day comes and we start rebuilding the cow herd. The problem is, if you've got a heifer you can sell at these prices, do you hold it back for income you might get 3 or 4 years from now? That's a pretty tough decision to hold it back. That's preventing us from really rebuilding the cow herd.
So what do you see as some of the biggest push factors in this livestock in general, that besides the fact the craziness of the box beef prices and not backing off of consumer demand?
Well, you have to worry about, like we had the headlines about the quote-unquote flesh-eating worm that hit here a week ago. That was an over-sensationalized headline, but that's the type of thing that can scare the funds out of the market. What about the consumer? So far, the consumer has been a strong buyer of beef. We anticipate that continuing. The negative would be if the economy suddenly turns south and the consumer says, I'm sorry, I want my beef, but I can't afford it. We're not seeing evidence of that yet, but that could happen. So there are those things that could do it. Some type of thing that scares the consumer from eating beef. I'm not even going to say for if examples, because that can take on a life of its own. That's always a possibility in our world. So I think you always have to approach it with downside price protection, but recognize that the fundamentals are still there in this healthy market, in this market right now. It's just everyone gets very nervous when the prices are this high.
Who would have ever thought when we started 2025 that these bingo cards would be showing up?
Yeah, absolutely. It is crazy. I get the question more often than not, is this the high? I've been wrong enough times, I don't answer that question anymore. if bottom line, though, it comes to how much is the consumer willing to pay? And so far, despite the low consumer confidence survey numbers, the consumer is still buying because the consumer wants protein.
Very well put. Arlen Suderman joining us here during Farm Progress. A quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that is the Wednesday market wrap-up on the American Ag Network.